turn with me to Psalms chapter 127. We're going to have a baby dedication this morning. We're going to cover some of the scriptures that the Lord began to deal with my heart on a number of years ago, four years ago, and began to change some things and then change even some more things in my own heart recently. Why don't you stretch your faith this way and help me? Father, we thank you for this day. We love you, Holy Spirit, more than anything else in this world. We love you, Jesus, so much. You become our friend, our companion, our lifelong desire. Lord, we pray that you'll bring us into everything that you are, everything that you've provided. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for this heritage. And we ask you now to lead us and guide us into all truth, Holy Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. There was a time where that I did not understand to the extent, and I'll begin to share a little later or more, the importance on the foundation of baby dedication. And that's why we're going to take some time this morning to rehearse some more of these scriptures. There was a time where there was something lacking probably in my foundation of doctrine in a number of different areas. And I'm just going to kind of share my heart where I've been and where the Holy Spirit's taken me to. In a number of different areas. Marriage was one. I used to consent to marry people. Once I had a counseling session or two with them and presented Christ to them, I've no longer will marry individuals who do not go to this church. If they don't go to this church, I don't consider it. And there are prerequisites that I would set. If the couple is together, they need to separate and make it a sanctified situation before that I can begin to counsel them. And they need to come into a place where they're in agreement with the Word of God. And we certainly, it's our desire to sanctify everybody's life according to the Word of God. But I received some correction from the Holy Spirit, and I have to obey that correction. One of those corrections was even in baby dedication. I began, years ago, I thought that if I laid my hands on them, they could be dedicated. I was corrected, so corrected. I realized I can't dedicate your child. I cannot dedicate your child. You as the mother and father, the husband and wife, which is a husband and wife situation, you have to be the one to dedicate your child. And in that process, the Holy Spirit will come in and do a work. Now, let's face it. Most of you maybe were not dedicated. A lot of you weren't dedicated. And I'm not talking about sprinkling or baby baptism. You can't find sprinkling in the Word of God. You can't even find baby baptism in the Word of God. What I do want you to understand is this. No matter what you do for your child, even at an early age, that doesn't mean they're saved. Until they come to a place of, now like little children and babies in the womb that are aborted, babies in the womb that are miscarried, babies that grow up to a certain age, their innocence. There's a place of innocence. Until they become aware of life, and then they begin to really realize what's right and wrong. Where that age is at, I'm not really sure. I know the Holy Spirit knows, and I think it's a difference with everybody. But what I'm saying is you can't bring a child to a preacher or to a pastor or to a priest and say, I'm dedicating my child, and say, okay, they're good to go for heaven for the rest of their life. And some people believe that. But Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So unless somebody gets to a place where they individually, even though they've been dedicated, comes to a place where they realize, I need Christ. I need Jesus into my life. And the closer your family and your parents are to the Lord, there is an atmosphere in your home that provides an atmosphere where little children can say at an early age. I think Amber was, how old, Candy? 3, 2, when she accepted the Lord? How old was she? 2.5 when she accepted the Lord. And she really knew what she was doing. A lot of times you need to make sure they do know what they're doing. But then you can always remind them, you accepted Christ. You asked Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sins at that particular time. But this morning, as we go over these scriptures, it's important for us. Not only, you say, well, I'm not dedicating my child. I don't have any children, or I'm a grandparent or whatever. The understanding, the basic understanding of how important this is for all of us is something that will carry through in all the parts of our life. Psalms 127 begins to speak to us about the importance of our children and the importance of understanding what dedication is. And as I started to say a little bit ago, many of you probably were not dedicated. That does not mean that God does not put his hand on your life the moment that you're born again. Many of us come up to a place, or many of you come up to a place where you think, well, my parents didn't dedicate me or consecrate me. That does not keep you from being born again, obviously. At whatever point you hear the gospel and you receive it, you come in to a full inheritance, and you can follow God. You can come into your earthly ministry. What does dedication mean? Well, one of the things that it really means is this, is that from the very beginning, that child that you dedicate begins to be nurtured by the Holy Spirit, so that once they are born again, the Holy Spirit's already got a foundation. He's already got a call on their life, and he's already put a hook in their jaw. He's already placed them where that it makes the atmosphere around them so much more conducive, so that there is Holy Spirit, angels, the Word of God that begins to work on them to begin to call them and begin to prepare them for their call. And that call doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a preacher. It doesn't necessarily mean they can be anything that God wants them to be. But the call comes from the Holy Spirit. And once you consecrate your child to the Lord, then you're asking him from the very beginning to get a hold of their life and follow them throughout their life. Verse 1 of chapter 127 says this: Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Now, when he says build the house, he's not talking about your physical house that you live in. He's talking about your life. And specifically, he's talking about here, we can understand more. One of the specific things that he's saying is he's talking about your family. Except the Lord build your family, you labor in vain. He's saying that you have to build your house, as Christ said, upon a rock. And the rock is the Word of God. And from the very beginning, you have to begin to instill in your children an understanding. Otherwise, it's not the things that you need to understand that you need to give to your children is not more stuff, not a better pair of tennis shoes, not the newest things. The best thing that you can possibly give your children is a heritage from Almighty God. And the way that they're going to receive that is watching what you do. It's not what you say. What you say doesn't change people's lives. Well, there's power in words. There's only power in words if there's a doing behind the saying. If there's a doing behind the saying, you can tell your kids to do something all day long, but if you're not doing it, what are they going to follow? They're going to follow what you're doing. They're going to follow what you're doing, not what you're saying. Well, don't do that. Well, I see you doing it. Where do they get the words that they say? I don't know where they learned that at. especially if they're not in school yet, they learn it at home. They learn not what you're, don't beat your kids for what you do. Hallelujah, I'm getting amens now. We sanctify and accept the Lord build a house. And how does he build that house? He builds that house through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then that's a trickle down. They begin to see that. They begin to, that mommy, daddy, husband, and wife, are in touch with the Lord. They understand that the most important thing is to build a family atmosphere. And build, I encourage you, all of you that have small children. Now, there'll come a time later when they're teenagers and they're older. It's going to be harder. But build a family altar. That's so important. That two or three or four or five times a week, you're spending some time. I encourage you, spend some time as a family. Spend some time, even if it's 15 minutes. We teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit here and praying in tongues. And once you get born again, that's something that you can do relentlessly if you'd like. Gather your kids together and say, okay, kids, you know, we're going to pray. We're going to read some scripture. And we're going to pray, and we're going to pray in tongues for a little bit. I remember these girls of mine, when they were growing up, we would have those, and we would have them almost, you know, four or five times a week. And I would look over during that 30-minute time, and I knew that there was sometimes daggers, and there was all kinds of, they were praying in the Spirit, almost against their will, but it was changing their life for the future. Sometimes people say, well, my kids don't want to do that. Wait a minute. As long as they're yours, and as long as they're underage, even if it's under duress, you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be ugly. Even if they don't pray, make them sit in that atmosphere. And I've never understood, and I don't think I ever will, asking a kid if they want to go to church. You are the parent. Now, you don't have to be mean or ugly, but now there's going to come a time when they're 18, they're going to, you know, they're grown, they're going to be on their own. At least that's what the law says. But there's a time when you can do it in love. You can absolutely do it in love. But the home is supposed to be a place that is built on the Word of God. It's built and nurtured on the heritage of the Lord. And it says in verse 2, it is in vain for you to rise up early or to sit up late to eat your bread, or to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Everybody say this, my children, my child is a heritage from the Lord. The word heritage in the Hebrew means, the secondary meaning means heirloom. And it means heirloom, you know what an heirloom, it's something that's been in the family. It's something, heirloom is something that's passed down from generation to generation. And what this is actually saying is the children are Christ or God's heirloom. They really belong to him. Isn't that precious? They belong to God. And how you treat them from the moment that you receive them on this earth. Now, they don't come. Their spirits don't come from heaven. It comes through the law of Genesis. But you have the power to create. And through that creation, God says, here, I've given you these children. I've given them to you as a heritage from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb for a family that comes together and says, okay, we want to sanctify our home. We receive Christ. We say, in the bond of marriage, the reward for us is to receive children so that we can raise them up in a godly manner. Because listen, the children that we're raising in this church today, if I go home, if you go home to be with the Lord, we're believing God for a great revival. These children are going to be the ones who carry this revival into the next generation. We're raising them up to see that there's something about what we say. There's a power in what we say. There's a love of God. It says, lo, the children, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with his enemies in his gate, in the gate. Another very powerful scripture is in Proverbs. This is one that we use. Now, I know that it can have spiritual implications, and it does, probably at its primary root, concerning the flesh and the spirit. But there's also the practical and the physical application. Proverbs 22, verse 6, and this is a favorite one that we stand on, especially for our children. It says this, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will" what? "He will not depart from it." Listen, when you begin to raise these little guys from the very beginning, and your home is sanctified, well, what about you parents sitting out there who did not raise them from the very beginning? Aren't you glad for the second chance of the blood of Jesus? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit will go to them no matter what? He'll get a hold of them. And all of our family members are coming in this great revival. Amen. Your sons and daughters. But from the very beginning, the Word says here, if we train up a child in the way that he should go, when he is old, they will not depart from it. The word that we just read in Psalms 127 says that they're a heritage from the Lord. This means that they are given to us as an heirloom passed down to us to raise them right, to raise them in the house of God. But a number of years ago, as I said, I began to realize that what actually dedicated a child was the consecration of the parents first. It really was. What actually sanctified their dedication and consecration of the Lord was the parents first giving themselves to the Lord. And we've got scriptural reference to that. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Now, I'm not going to go into all this scripture, but there was a lady named Hannah who was married to a husband named Elkanah, and he was a righteous man. In those days, they were permitted to have more than one wife. He had two wives. Hannah did not. She could not conceive. She was barren. And she went up to the house of the Lord. And we're going to pick it up in verse 10 to see what she did in presenting herself to the Lord. It says in verse 10 that this woman, Hannah, that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me, and forget not thy handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord. All the days of his life there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Eli was the high priest. He was the minister that was in the house. And he looked over, this woman is praying at the altar, and he looked at this woman praying, and he marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. She was speaking very silent, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul." And that is very, very important to the Lord, or to us. "I have poured out my soul before the Lord." The very first thing that all of us, whether you're dedicating you're not dedicating your children to the Lord officially this morning, but, and that may be something that you never do, But as a parent, this is paramount. This is the most important thing that you can do for their life. Hannah was saying, Lord, even before I receive the child, I'm pouring out my soul before you. I am dedicating my life to you. I want my life to be, I want to follow you. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to put aside, the problem today is parents are so involved with the world and with their own agendas that they really don't love their children like they should. Well, yes, I do love my... No, if you love your child like you should, you'll lay down your agendas. You'll say, well, I'd like to do that. Is that conducive to serving the Lord? No. Is that conducive to raising a right family and setting a godly atmosphere? No, but I like to do it. Listen, whatever happened to laying down your life for the benefit of somebody else? Whatever happened to sacrificing your life for the benefit of somebody else? And especially when it comes to our children. Especially when it comes to a place where you say, you know what, God's word doesn't permit me to do that. And if God's word doesn't permit me to do that, I'll forego that. I'll stop that because I want to raise my children right. I want to set forth a godly example. The world that we live in today, especially America, it's all about me. I want mine first, and I want to feel good, and I want to be happy. Listen, your happiness, I hate to tell you this, God's not really concerned about your happiness. What? He's not. God's not concerned about your happiness. He's concerned about you following Christ and following His Word. Happiness will come as a result of being obedient to the Word of God. A lot of times people say, well, God wants me happy in this situation. No, that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. God wants you happy once you've obeyed the wisdom of God. Peace will come, happiness will come as a result of following the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not getting too many amens. But once you begin to say, okay, Lord, this woman poured out her soul. She was saying, okay, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll follow you first. Lord, I'll dedicate myself to you. I'll follow you. And she said in verse 16, it says here, count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. She was talking to the priest. I'm not a child of the devil, she says. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli, the priest, that's the man, said, he answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, knew Hannah, that means they came together as husband and wife. And the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? When you dedicate your children, you have to give them to the Lord forever. You have to say, God, these children are yours, and I'm giving them back to you. Now, you know what? You can even do this at home to your grown children. You can begin to pray, Lord, take hold of their life. Take hold of their life, no matter where they're at. I don't care. They can be in the dungeons of sin, but, Lord, you go after them. I still has, as long as... Now, there comes a place where people have to answer for themselves. But as long as you're on this planet, you are a mother or father that can be an intercessor for them and say, God, I'm saying that my son, my daughter, they will serve you and they will follow you all the days of their life. Hallelujah. The word says that in verse 23, that Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. And it goes on to list the offering that was given there. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord and be worshipped. And he worshipped the Lord there. Hallelujah. You're saying, okay, Lord, I don't own anything. You've given me everything. Your heritage is children. I'm going to lend them back to you. How long? For the rest of their life. Well, what do you want them to be? It doesn't matter what I want them to be. Well, I'd like for them to be a professional football player or a lawyer or attorney or a doctor or this, that, and the other. What does God want them to be? What has God called them to be? What are they supposed to be under? Because listen, the most effective thing that they'll possibly be, a person they'll possibly be in this life, is if they enter in to what God has called them to do. Chapter 2 says this in verse 18. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. He was girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She actually left this child. Can you imagine? This is amazing. She left this child in the house of God to be raised by the minister, and she only saw him once a year. Now that, for a mother, that'd be a hard thing to do. But this is a shadow of how strong our giving our children to the Lord must be. It must be something that we say, God, I first commit myself to you, and then as a result of it, Lord, I'm giving this child back to you for whatever. You say, well, is God going to take him from me? No. He's going to more establish them in your home and in your life. Now, chapter 3, here comes, first there's a dedication, or there is a consecration of the parent first. Then the child is dedicated, but here's what happens as a result of it. In verse 1 it says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass, when Eli was laid down, that's the current preacher, or the high priest, was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now he's just still a young man, young child. And the Lord called Samuel, and verse 4 says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me? And he said, I callest thee not. Lie down. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, this is amazing, here I am. It's three times this young man lies down and the voice of the Lord says, Samuel. And he thinks, what? You know, he's serving the preacher. He's serving the priest. Eli must be calling me. Gets up, runs in there. What do you want? Yes, sir. I didn't call you. Go lay down. He goes and lays down. Samuel comes running back into, yes, sir, what do you want? What do you need? Son, what are you doing? I'm not saying anything. Go back. Go to sleep. Lie down. The third time this happens, the Lord calls, verse 8, Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee again, or if he call thee, that thou shalt say and speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as he did other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered and spake, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. The amazing part is that the first this woman dedicated herself to the Lord. Each one of us are called on a continual basis to dedicate ourselves, but especially mothers and fathers, husbands and wives. Out of that dedication, there comes a consecration to where that God really, if God sees that you're serious, then he can come and get a hold of your children. I can't dedicate your children. All I can do is kind of seal the deal. All I can do is say, okay, God, what you're witnessing on this earth as parents that say, Lord, we're giving ourselves. This woman gave herself to the Lord, and then she said, Lord, I want you to use this child. What happened is the Lord comes and calls this child. God will call your children when you dedicate them to him. God will come and get a hold of their life. He'll come and use them for the, and I, like I said, they might not be preachers, but they'll have a call and they'll have a ministry. This young man heard the Lord. The same thing happened with Jesus. He was circumcised at eight days old, but then later he was brought into the temple. And his earthly father, not his real father, God's his real father, but his earthly father and mother stood over him and dedicated him and consecrated him to the Lord. But in doing that, the word says, and we're not going to turn there because we're going to go ahead and finish this morning, is that they brought a sacrifice to the Lord. When we bring that sacrifice of ourself to the Lord and say, God, I'm giving myself over to you, God sees our heart. And God's able to do what he does and call our children, call our families, sanctify our homes. Listen, as I said, you may not be the one that is dedicating your child this morning, but I encourage each of you, consecrate your heart to the Lord. Go into God, because the more that you are into a place where the Father sees your heart and you're changing, even to those grown children, you're going to have an effect on their life. Amen? God hears everybody's prayer that he can, and he will get involved in everybody's prayer that he possibly can. But a lot of times, the intercession that we do for our children is not getting to the place where it needs to be, because there's things in our own life that need to be changed. Well, Pastor, I just think God hears everybody's prayer and he'll just answer. Why would he say to the husbands, treat your wives with love so that your prayers be not hindered? In other words, I can pray a prayer, and if I'm not treating my wife right, it hinders my prayer. In other words, it's not getting answered. So don't tell me that the things and the way that you live doesn't affect how God can answer your prayers. It does. But when you line up with the Word of God, and listen, nobody's perfect, but when you're striving and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to dedicate myself first, and then as I dedicate myself, I can pray for my grown kids, I can dedicate my little children as I go into a place that's sanctified by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, we had a lot more scripture, but we're going to go ahead and recently, Candy and I had another miracle took place in our life, and that happened through our youngest daughter, that one of our daughters that would sit on the couch and be so mad because we would have her praying in tongues. But she's here this morning with her husband, and their little one is just a week old. And normally we'd do it even a little bit later, but he has very few weeks that he's able to get off. So I'm going to ask Watson and Davey to come and bring Drea. Drea Lubin?
Yeah.
Yes. Davey? And the rest of the family that wants to come? Won't you see this? Isn't this the greatest thing on the planet? Hallelujah. There we go. Now, I didn't ask you before. Did you guys? You did. Okay. So they have twice now, because when Josiah came in, I asked them to listen to the extended version of, we did actually an extended version of this teaching, and committing yourself to the Lord and committing yourself to follow Christ. And so they did that with Josiah, and they made that commitment, and they listened to this again last night, and they're making this commitment. It is my understanding before God and before this whole congregation that you will serve the Lord the rest of your life, follow God, and raise these children in the house of the Lord as a husband and wife before the Lord.
Yes,
I receive that. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. The rest of you get to be a part of that commitment, because your life is important. As Drea grows up in this church, she's going to see you. She's going to see your life. But more importantly, she's going to see you at other places as well. I pray that as she sees you as a person here, that she'll see you as a person in the community as well. Amen. And that she'll not see you stumbling out of a bar someday. There's other places in Immokalee I won't name now that I hope that she doesn't see you coming out of. But you become a part of the dedication of this as well. And aunts, uncles up here, and especially grandma and grandpa, would you please stand with us and stretch your faith this way? As I said, I can't dedicate. They're dedicating Drea, and she's gonna get her, the hands of Grandpa laid on her. But I want you to stretch your faith this way, and as we do it, I want you to dedicate yourself to the Lord as well. Father, I thank you that even as according to Holy Scripture, as Christ was dedicated, as Samuel was dedicated, and then followed the dedication of the Lord through a call, I pray that, Lord, you will come. Lord, we dedicate her through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the name of Jesus. And I pray that at an early age that she will hear your call, whether it's audible or just in her in an inward voice. Lord, let her respond to salvation, then a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then an earthly call. Father, we dedicate her in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. We consecrate her unto you. And Father, we pray for this family, that in Jesus' name, that each one of them, aunt and uncle, you can come and stand. You're going to be a part of the raising of their life, her life. Father, we pray that every member of this family, as well as the extended family behind me, will become a part of her dedication this morning. As we lift her up to the Lord and we lift this family up to the Lord, that, Lord, that you'll come into their lives, into our lives, and everyone standing out there, that, Lord, even for their children, that they'll remember there's a place in Christ that they can consecrate each one of them. And, Lord, we thank you for that, and we dedicate our lives to you as well, and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we made a service dedication, but it's important for us to know Scripture. How many enjoyed those Scriptures? Amen. Amen? All right, why don't you give each other a great big hug, and if you've not hugged Davey and Watson, congratulate them, and you'll get a chance to see Drea up close. Drea gets her first Bible this morning and a certificate saying that she was dedicated to the Lord. So, all right, God bless you. We love all of you. Thank you for coming this morning. Amen.